Couple of announcements. Item number one, AB 248, is not going to be heard today. We have three consent items, item number 3, 4, and 11. We're going to first start off with item number 2, AB 389, Assemblymember Chow, Hospitals Language Assistance Services. Good afternoon and welcome, Assemblymember.
And Senators, I'd like to begin by accepting the technical and clarifying amendments on page 5 of the analysis, and also the amendment regarding the implementation date. AB 389 provides greater transparency and oversight of a key accountability measure serving the needs of limited English proficient patients, or LEPs, by requiring hospitals to post their language assistance policies online in English and also up to 5 other most commonly spoken languages in the hospital service areas. It also requires the Department of Public Health and the Office of the Statewide Health Planning and Development to post each hospital's language assistance policy on their internet websites. Current law requires each general acute care hospital to annually adopt a policy for providing language assistance to LEP patients and also to report that policy to the Department of Public Health. This law ensures that every resident has access to health services in a hospital setting regardless of the language's ability. However, instead of submitting these reports to a centralized location, hospitals currently submit their policies and procedures on paper to their respective DHP licensing and certification district offices. Members of the public seeking to look at a hospital's language assistance policy must make the request directly to the district office. Having the policy spread out makes it difficult for policyholders and also public for the public to access them, verifying compliance and also ensuring adherence to the appropriate protections and practices set forth by the state. This bill will facilitate access for consumers and policymakers to hospital language access policies by centralizing their location online. I have my witness here from the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network to testify in support of the bill. That's Kimberly Chen.
Thank you very much. Welcome, and please proceed.
Kimberly Chen with the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network, proud sponsors of AB 389. As folks know, California is one of the most diverse states in the country, and with that, diverse language needs. And in the healthcare setting, whether or not you can communicate with your provider, healthcare provider, has serious consequences. We're fortunate in California that the state already requires hospitals to have a plan in place to assist those with language needs. What this bill does is offer greater transparency around those plans and greater transparency around what those language assistance services are in each hospital. It also helps inform LEP patients about the availability of these services so that they know to ask for them. This bill builds upon the state's commitment to ensure that all Californians have access to linguistically appropriate care. We want to thank the assembly member for his leadership on the issue and request your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in support?
Linda Way with the Western Center on Law and Poverty. This bill provides greater oversight and helps ensure LEP patients have access to information ROD guaranteed by law. So we are in support of the bill.
Thank you. Anyone else?
So YCM on behalf of Health Access California, we're in support. This bill will facilitate access to healthcare services for limited English proficient individuals. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Michelle Cabrera on behalf of SEIU California, also in support.
Thank you. Anyone else? Opposition? Questions, comments from any of the members? Seeing no questions or comments. Fortunately, we still, nope, I guess not. We don't have a quorum. I thought maybe somebody, we get some more people come in. What we do, on, we will establish one, move the bill. Would you like to close?
I respectfully ask your aye vote.
Okay, thank you. I will be supporting the measure. We're going to be recommending the aye vote, but since we get a quorum, we'll move on it. Thank you, Assemblymember.
Thank you very much, Senators.
I see Assemblymember Wood. Item number 6, AB 858, Medi-Cal, Federally Qualified Health Centers, and Rural Health Clinics. Assemblymember. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Senator and members. I would like to begin by accepting the committee recommended amendments by the committee. First of all, Chair and Member, AB 858 allows federally qualified health centers and rural health clinics to hire marriage and family therapists, or MFTs, and have their services reimbursed just as they can for psychologists and social workers. While MFTs are recognized by the state as Medi-Cal providers, they are not currently recognized as such in clinic settings for purpose of billing. AB 858 also addresses the issue of not reimbursing for a mental health visit on the same day as a medical visit. 32 other states allow for billing of mental health and medical health visits on the same day. So you could see a dental, you could have a dental visit on the same day, but you couldn't have a dental and a mental health or a medical visit as likewise. So currently Medi-Cal will not cover a mental health visit at an FQHC or a rural health center if the patient has a medical appointment that same day. Particularly in rural areas like my district, this is a serious problem. It can mean hours of travel both ways. The current system allows for a medical visit and a dental visit on the same day, but once again, not a mental health visit. Primary care is often the first line of defense for detection of mental health issues. Up to 26% of primary care patients have some health disorder. There may be as many issues as 99 issues that are related to challenges with Medi-Cal, but same-day billing shouldn't be one of those. A seamless transition to mental health professionals is essential, and we should be encouraging people to seek needed treatment, not maintaining an unnecessary barrier to care. As our healthcare system moves towards a more integrated model, we need to ensure that Medi-Cal keeps up by assuring that we have an adequate workforce and adopting policies that facilitate needed care. With me today in support of the bill are marriage and family therapists and Primary Care Association.
Thank you. Please state your name and proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, Tim Shen, representing the California Association of Marriage and Family Therapists. I just want to take a second to introduce a former president of the association, J.M. Avosevich, who has practiced in rural health clinics and will give our testimony. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. J.M. Avosevich. I am the director of behavioral health for Clínicas de Salud, which is a clinic organization that covers the very southeast part of the state, Imperial County and Riverside counties. And a big problem with recruitment there. I did some surveying of my area, and for every social worker, for every psychologist, we have 14 marriage and family therapists, and for every social worker, we have 3.4 marriage and family therapists. So there's a big need for that. Currently, I have one social worker staffing one clinic of my 13 clinics because I can't find anybody to staff those clinics, either social worker or psychologist. So it really creates an excess issue for the clients that we see, the patients we see. So I encourage you to vote yes for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in support?
Real quick, Chair Member Sean South on behalf of the California Primary Care Association. This bill will give us the tools that we need to better integrate mental health care into our system. As Dr. Wood said, a lot of our patients come to us with a myriad of conditions. We have to be able to treat their mental health needs and their physical health needs at the same time in order to ensure better health outcomes, and this bill will allow us to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Tim Kammer on behalf of LA Care, we support.
Thank you.
Amber King with the Association of California Healthcare Districts in support.
Kat DeBerg with the Health Officers Association of California in support.
Les Shepard representing the California Division of the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy in support.
Jennifer Tannehill on behalf of the California Children's Hospital Association in support.
Michael Radigan on behalf of the Board of Supervisors of Santa Clara County in support.
Sarah McDay-Ting on behalf of the California State Association of Counties in support.
Jerry Jeffy on behalf of the California Chronic Care Coalition in support.
Before we move forward, we're going to establish a quorum. Call the members, please.
Hernandez?
Here.
Hernandez here. Wynn? Wynn here, Hall.
Aye.
Hall here, Mitchell, Monning, Nielsen, Pan, Roth,
here.
Roth here, Wolk,
here.
Wolk here.
Quorum has been established, sorry. Please proceed. Anyone else in support? No, opposition? Come on in, please.
Rebecca Gonzalez, National Association of Social Workers, California Chapter. We're actually support if amended, and we're support if amended because we are completely supportive of the original portion of the bill, which had to do with two visits on the same day, and we're opposed to the part on bringing the marriage and family therapists in as a qualified provider in these clinics. There's a few reasons for that. One is we believe that the supply of social workers is out there. We have 23 schools of social work in California, including many in rural parts of the state, such as Humboldt, Stanislaus, Fresno, San Bernardino. We're graduating about 10,000 BSWs and MSWs a year. In addition, there are 4,000 associate clinical social workers in the pipeline for licensure. Also, our online program has grown significantly. USC has a very large online program with 2,000 students, 630 reside in California, and 200 students live in rural areas in the state. The other main reason we oppose the bill is because we believe social workers are uniquely qualified to work in federally qualified health centers. Social workers are trained to view clients from the person in the environment, whole person perspective, as opposed to just focusing on the pathology of the mental illness. Also, the clinics serve a very diverse and low-income population. So just for an example, if you have a homeless person who's presenting a mental health issue, a social worker would work on their mental health issue, but they would also look at that person's immediate needs, such as their housing needs, food, and shelter, and they are very well-trained to deal with all aspects of the person. So we believe, combined with what we think is a ready supply, and we're perfectly willing to work with the clinics to try to find social workers to work at FQHCs, and our unique training to really work in FHQCs, we believe that that's why we oppose that portion of the bill. Thank you.
So it's just that one particular portion, but the two-day rule is... So let me ask you on the MFTs, are you opposed to the fact that they're going to be now reimbursed, or are you opposed to the fact that they're going to be doing work that corresponds to what a social worker can do, or are you opposed because you think that they're going to go outside of their scope of practice? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what's right. The opposition.
Well, I am aware that some of MFTs do work in clinics now, but we believe under the bill it... I think that we believe that social workers, as opposed to MFTs, are really... The people that are really trained to work with these communities. And I mean, kind of what I said before, I mean, I think that they don't have the complete training we do to provide all the services that we provide. So maybe it's,
But would this bill preclude a federally qualified health center from hiring an MFT and a social worker? I don't think the bill precludes that.
No, it doesn't.
I think the only thing the bill is doing is allowing them to get paid for their services, which I don't have a problem.
Right.
So I'm trying to understand what's the reason for... So if somebody can provide that service within their scope of practice, I think they should get reimbursed.
Right.
You need to explain to me why that's a problem.
I guess we see the problem as them not having the training to really work with the type of people who are at FQHCs, the low-income communities, and also, very culturally diverse. Not that they don't have any training in that area, because they do, but social work training is... much more in depth on those kinds of issues, and social workers, that is the communities that they used to work with.
Well, that would be under the premise that they're going to be replacing a social worker with an MFT, they're going to be doing something they're not trained, but I don't know if this bill addresses that. So, okay, anyway,
right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any other opposition at this time? Any questions from any of the members? We have a motion to move the bill by Senator Wolk. And just for clarification, Assemblymember, the statement you made at the beginning that there are no amendments on this bill, it's for your next bill.
Okay. My apologies.
We won't be taking amendments here.
Good. Thank you.
There's a motion. I support the bill. Would you like to close?
I just respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. We have a motion. Senator Wolk, AB 858, do pass to appropriations. Call the members, please.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Wynn?
Aye.
Wynn, aye. Hall? Mitchell? Monning, Nielsen, Pan, Roth,
aye.
Roth, aye. Wolk,
aye.
Wolk, aye.
Currently has four. We're going to place that bill on calls. You can see we have some members absent. Would you like to go to your other bill, item number 8, AB 1231, Medi-Cal, non-Medi-Cal transportation? We definitely have amendments for that bill.
And I'd be happy to accept the amendments, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Okay, thank
Please
you.
Proceed.
Thank you. Many Medi-Cal beneficiaries have reported difficulty accessing specialty health care from lack of adequate transportation. In some cases, families have reported driving over 4 hours for a one-way trip to see their specialist provider. This is especially magnified by the rural nature of my district. non-medical transportation of members of patients to medical services by passenger car, taxi cabs, or other forms of transportation is only a Medi-Cal benefit for children. We're not really trying to provide transportation to a HOVA or a B concert. We're just trying to get these folks to their specialty care. Unfortunately, for all other beneficiaries, non-medical transportation is an optional benefit that health plans may provide. Although health plans provide this service, beneficiaries have reported difficulty accessing the service due to the wide variance in policies and procedures. Currently, licensed plans must provide primary care services within 30 minutes or 10 miles. Right now, there are no geographic or timely access standards for specialty care transportation. This is especially problematic for people living in my rural district. AB 1231 ensures that low-income beneficiaries, especially in rural areas, have access to transportation for their specialty care needs. The bill requires that non-medical transportation be provided to specialty care beneficiaries if those services are more than 60 minutes or 30 miles from the beneficiary's place of residence. I do accept the amendments. The bill will be subject to utilization control similar to Medi-Cal coverage for transportation, and there is a requirement that the department to implement legislation through an all-county letter. Here in support is Linda Newey from the Western Center on Law and Poverty.
Good afternoon, Chair, members. My name is Linda Way with Western Center on Law and Poverty. Many rural consumers report difficulty accessing specialty care due to lack of adequate transportation. AB 1231 would ensure these consumers have access to transportation and specialty care, thereby reducing the need for costly emergency services. This bill clarifies that non-medical transportation is a covered Medi-Cal benefit for beneficiaries traveling over 60 minutes or 30 miles. The bill has no opposition and has had bipartisan support, so urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Anyone else in support?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. So White Seam on behalf of Health Access California. We are in support. This bill will go far in ensuring low-income individuals have access to specialty care services, and particularly in rural areas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kimberly Chen with the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network, also in support.
Rebecca Gonzalez, National Association of Social Workers, California Chapter, in support.
Thank you.
Kieran Savage Sungwin, National Alliance on Mental Illness of California, also in support.
Thank you. Any opposition? Questions, comments? Yes, Senator
Wynn. Just a question,
yes.
Assemblyman. Is this only an issue in rural areas?
Potentially not. It seems to be certainly magnified in my area, but potentially not. There could be suburban areas where transportation might be a challenge, depending on the nature of the specialty provider.
Just out of curiosity, when you were going through the process of putting this bill together, where did you come up with the 60 minutes and 30 miles? Because in Orange County, 60 minutes could be down the street because of traffic. I mean, I probably can walk faster than that, but you know, I mean, that's my question is, in urban areas,
right,
like in Orange County, Los Angeles, you know, it might not be 60 minutes, it could be 30 minutes, but that, right, 30 minutes is still critical.
Right. You know, honestly, looking at this, as we began looking at this, we were looking more at the, you know, typical transportation times in areas that might not be impacted by traffic.
Okay.
So.
Would you consider?
And Linda may have another answer for that as well.
And it's actually based on California Department of Insurance specialty standards of 60 minutes or 30 miles. And I'd like to state that it's or, so it can be either 60 minutes or 30 miles. So even though traffic may take more than 60 minutes, if it meets the 30-mile threshold, then it could not be subject to transportation.
Would you, I'm supportive of your bill, but just out of curiosity, would you consider making it 30 minutes and not 60 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. I would appreciate that. I mean, it's because, I mean, in areas like urban areas, I mean, you know, we don't have 30 miles is quite, we don't have that kind of distance, but then 60 miles, you know, sometimes will fit in it, sometimes it won't. So 30 miles to me, I mean, 30 minutes, I'm sorry, 60 minutes and 30 minutes, I think would go a long way for areas in like Orange County and Los Angeles County that I represent both.
You know, I, in theory, I guess I could accept that, but as you heard, we're going based on already established guidelines, so I'm not really sure how that would ultimately affect this bill going forward. Happy to look into that.
I would appreciate that. Thank you.
So I'm prepared to support the bill in its current form. If you are interested in having a conversation with the senator, I mean, if you'd like to entertain an amendment at a later point, I'll leave it up to you and her. But I'm comfortable at where it's at because it does mirror Department of Insurance, specialty care service standards as well. But I'll leave it up to you. So is there any questions for any of the members? We have a motion by Senator Wolk. Would you like to close, Assemblymember?
Just respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. This is item number 8, AB 1231. Do pass as amended to appropriations. Call the members.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Nguyen.
Aye.
Nguyen, aye. Hall. Mitchell. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Nielsen. Pan. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wolk.
Aye.
Wolk, aye.
Thank you.
Currently has five, enough to get out, but we're going to place that bill on call.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Before we move on, let's do, if there's an item number 2, if we have a motion at item number 2. It's moved by Senator Wolk. Item number 2, AB 389. Excuse me. Do pass to appropriations, as amended to appropriations. Call the members.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Nguyen. Yes.
Item number 2.
Nguyen, aye. Hall.
Aye.
Hall, aye. Mitchell. Mitchell, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Nielsen. Pan. Roth.
Yeah. We're
Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wolk.
Aye.
Wolk, aye. 7.
Currently has 7. We're going to place that bill on call. We have an absent member. We can do the consent calendar. Item number 3. Item number 4 and item number 11, is there a motion? So moved by Senator Wolk. Call the members, please.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Nguyen.
Aye.
Nguyen, aye. Hall.
Aye.
Hall, aye. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Nielsen. Pan. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wolk.
Aye.
Wolk, aye.
7.
Currently at 7. We'll place that bill on call. We're going to move on to item number 5, AB 847, Mullen, Mental Health Community-Based Services. Good afternoon, Ms. Assembly Member.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senators. Presenting AB 847, which requires the Department of Health Care Services to apply to the Federal Secretary of Health and Human Services for a planning grant. The Protecting Access to Medicare Act of 2014 requires the Secretary of Health and Human Services to award matching grants to states for the construction or modernization of facilities used to provide community-based mental health and substance abuse services. The grants must be awarded no later than January 1, 2016, and applications are due August 5th, less than 2 months from now. It is important that the department apply for these grants this year in order for California to be considered among the recipients of the federal funding. And I have here with me Anna Hasselblad. I'm sorry, is this Rusty?
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Right here.
Anna's on her way.
Yeah.
We have Rusty Seelix here, as well as Anna Hasselblad with Steinberg Institute here to discuss the merit of the bill.
Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, welcome. Rusty Seelix for the California Council of Community Mental Health Agencies and Mental Health America of California in support. This bill is to make sure that California competes for an opportunity that could increase federal share of cost for outpatient mental health service from 50% to 2/3. Incredible opportunity worth at least $500 million a year for the 2 years involved, could go a long way to helping us deal with homelessness and shortages of crisis and other types of care that we desperately need. Strongly support this bill and hope the state proceeds.
Anna Hasselblad with the Steinberg Institute in strong support of this legislation.
Thank you. Anyone else in support?
Chair Member Sean South with the California Primary Care Association in support.
Les Shepard representing the California Division of the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy in full support.
Thank you. Opposition? Any questions? Seeing no questions. Oh. Do we have a motion?
Move it.
Senator Nguyen moves the bill. Would you like to close?
Respectfully ask for 9 vote.
Go ahead.
I apologize. Assemblymember, my question is actually pretty simple. Is your bill is almost the exact duplicate of another one that we're going to be looking at, almost. Did you consider working together in a joint, or what's the difference?
We have had conversations, the Assemblyman and I. This bill is requiring Department of Health Care Services to apply for the planning grant. Mr. Mainstrand's bill, as he will describe to you momentarily, requires the department to apply for subsequent grants. So these actually work in concert, but they are, in fact, different pieces of legislation.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, seeing no other questions or comments, the motion has been moved. We have item number 5, AB 847, due past appropriations. Call the members, please.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Nguyen.
Aye.
Nguyen, aye. Hall.
Aye.
Hall, aye. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Nielsen. Pan. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wolk.
Aye.
Wolk, aye.
Currently has 7. We'll place that bill on call. Thank you. Item number 7, AB 861, Manshine Mental Health Community-Based Services. Good afternoon, Assemblymember.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members. Today I'm presenting AB 861. In 2014, Congress enacted the Protecting Access to Medicare Act, under which up to 8 states will be selected to have their federal share of costs for outpatient behavioral health care for individuals with severe mental illnesses or severe and serious emotional disturbances increased to be equivalent to the enhanced federal matching rate for the Children's Health Insurance Program. The federal law would enable successful states to nearly double federal funds to support community mental health and substance use disorder services with no additional cost to the state or county. These are extremely important funds that California could use to serve some of its most vulnerable populations. Mr. Mullins, AB 847, which you just heard, directs the DHCS to apply for the federal planning grant, and my bill, AB 861, will ensure that if the state is successful in its bid, that its application will allocate a significant portion of the realized savings to provide housing assistance for people with severe mental illness. If California is successful, it would benefit the state to the tune of about $2 billion. The savings to the counties would also free up Prop 63 funds and other county mental health funds that are now expended on hospital care. These savings would then be redirected to supporting housing efforts. And I have with me Rusty Seelix and others to testify in support.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Rusty Seelix, California Council of Community Mental Health Agencies and Mental Health America of California. Support the bill. We think that's a very appropriate allocation of the funds that would be freed up, and dealing with housing is our biggest challenge in dealing with people with severe mental illness.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Anna Hasselblad with the Steinberg Institute, echoing Rusty's comments in strong support of this legislation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Linda Way with Western Center on Law and Poverty in support of providing supportive housing.
Chairmember Sean South, California Primary Care Association, in support.
Thank you. Opposition. Any comments from any of the members? We have moved the bill by Senator Monning. Seeing no other comments, we have a motion. Would you like to close?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. Respectfully request an aye vote.
Thank you. So we're item number 7, AB 861, due pass to appropriations. Call the members.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Nguyen.
Aye.
Nguyen, aye. Hall.
Aye.
Hall, aye. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Nielsen.
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Pan. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wolk.
Aye.
Wolk, aye.
Currently has 8, enough to get out. We will put that bill on call. I think we have one more absent member. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Can we call some members? Let's go ahead and open the roll. for all the bills. So if anybody's missed, we're going to start at the top. Item number two, AB 386, current vote count is 7-0. Call the absent members.
Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Pan?
Currently has 8. We'll put that bill on call. Consent calendar, item number 3, 4, and 6. Call the absent members.
Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye.
It's currently 8. Put that bill on call. Item number 5, AB 847, Mullen. Current vote count is 7-0. Call the absent members.
Nielsen? Nielsen, aye. Pan?
Place that bill on call. Item number 6, AB 858, Wood. Current vote count is 4-0. Call the absent members.
Hall?
Aye.
Hall, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Pan?
Current vote count is 8-0. We'll place that bill on call. Item number 7, AB 861. Current vote count is 8-0. Call the absent members.
Pan.
Place that bill on call. Item number 8, AB 1231. Wood. Current vote count is 5-0. Call the absent members.
Hall.
Aye.
Hall, aye. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Nielsen.
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Pan.
Current vote count 8-0. We'll place that bill on call. We saw Assemblymember Burke, and we're at item number 9, AB 1261, community-based adult services, adult day health care centers. Good afternoon, Assemblymember.
Mayor and senators, all of us want to remain in our own homes and communities as we get older, and every day adult health care centers help thousands of frail Californians do just that. Unfortunately, after nearly a decade of instability, programs across the state have closed their doors, leaving individuals with few choices for care outside of a nursing home. In my district alone, 4 centers have closed, leaving 420 of my constituents without the care that they had relied upon. AB 1261 provides some stability to our remaining providers in a community-based adult services program. The bill aligns state law with the Bridge to Reform waiver that currently governs adult day health care in California and requires Medi-Cal managed care plans to reimburse contracted providers at the rate that is no less than the Medi-Cal fee-for-service rates. I'm hoping that one day we'll be able to restore the program to its full capacity so that every one of our constituents has access to that care that they need to remain healthy and independent. Until then, let's do what we can to stabilize the program and preserve the benefits. I respectfully request an aye vote.
Thank you. Anyone like to speak in support of the measure?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Daisy Absalon. I'm a registered nurse and executive director of Escaton Adult Day Health Center here in Carmichael. In behalf of California Association of Adult Day Services, I'm here before you. We are proud to sponsor AB 1261, which would restore the community-based adult services program in state law. It has existed there for 30 years prior to its elimination in 2011, and then salvaged by a lawsuit and then recreated as a managed care benefit. Community-based adult services, or CBAS, is a medical program serving about 30,000 elders and adults with chronic functional disabilities from dementia, high blood pressure, diabetes, serious mental illness, traumatic brain injuries, stroke, breathing problems, and other severe health diagnoses causing multiple manifestations. In a day program setting, CBAS centers provide similar services to what people receive in nursing facilities, in skilled nursing facilities. We also provide care and supervision to allow them to remain in their own home despite serious illnesses. CBAS services include transportation to and from their home, individualized assessment and care plan, nursing and health services, behavioral health intervention, coordination of health care, medication management, social services, therapeutic team-based activities, and a healthy meal, on top of receiving also physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy as needed. We offer these services in a personalized manner and in more than 8 languages. There are currently 241 CBAS centers in California, specializing in serving the medical population. CBAS participants are at risk to be placed in skilled nursing facilities because of their condition. CBAS costs around $9,000 annually per person. However, in a skilled nursing facility, it can cost as much as $83,000 per year. CBAS is one of the cost-efficient home and community-based services that support choices, community living, and a quality of life for people on Medi-Cal, despite their limited financial resources and serious health condition. AB 1261 restores the CBAS program in state law. This will provide better program sustainability and legislative oversight. It also reinstates the rate floor provision originally mentioned in the Darling versus Douglas settlement, which required managed care to pay rates for CBAS services that are at least equivalent to a fee-for-service rate. Although this requirement was part of the original waiver, it was dropped by the state last November when the waiver was renewed. There are 55 centers that have closed since 2011, and closing more would mean that there is lost infrastructure. The economy of California will weaken. So I would like you to please respectfully vote an aye vote for AB 1261.
Thank you. Anyone else in support?
Amber King with the Association of California Healthcare Districts in support.
Thank you.
Rebecca Gonzalez, National Association of Social Workers, California chapter in support.
Sean South on behalf of the California Primary Care Association in support.
Fred Main on behalf of CalPACE in support.
Thank you. Any opposition? Any questions for any of the members? Seeing no questions, is there a motion? Moved by Senator Roth. I'm obviously supportive of the bill. I think it's a noble issue. And would you like to close?
I respectfully request your aye vote.
Thank you. Item number 9, AB 1261, due pass to appropriations. Call the members, please.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Nguyen.
Aye.
Nguyen, aye. Hall. Hall, aye. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Manning.
Aye.
Manning, aye. Nielsen.
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wolk.
Aye.
Wolk, aye.
It has 9. That bill is out.
Thank you.
We're at the last item of the day, item number 10, AB 1299, Ridley Thomas, Medi-Cal, Specialty Mental Health Services, Foster Children. Good afternoon, Assembly Member.
Mr. Chairman, it's a pleasure to see you. I join you, Senators and Mr. Chair, to present AB 1299, which will require the Department of Health Care Services to issue policy guidance that establishes the presumptive transfer of responsibility for providing mental health services for foster youth. I think this is an oversight and statute. This is a bill that seeks to provide quality mental health services for young people and who are part of our most vulnerable population. I think all of us recognize that. With your indulgence, Mr. Chair, we have witnesses that can attest to the merits of the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Assemblymember. Please proceed.
Mr. Chair, members, Carol Schroeder with the California Alliance of Child and Family Services. We are proud to co-sponsor AB 1299 with our partners, the Steinberg Institute and the Women's Policy Institute. The problem of providing foster children and youth placed out of county with behavioral health services they need and to which they are entitled has vexed California for over 20 years. As a result, foster children and youth placed across county lines often experience lengthy delays in accessing behavioral health services or are denied services altogether. To solve this problem, in 2007, we co-sponsored and former pro tem Daryl Steinberg authored SB 785. It instituted a host of voluntary procedural reforms to smooth access to services for foster children placed out of county.
They have not worked. But 785 did something very important for former foster children who've been adopted or are living with family members in kin guardianship arrangements outside their counties of origin. It definitively established the county where the child is living as the county responsible for the provision of mental health services, and this has worked. We've taken the lessons we learned from that experience and incorporated them into AB 1299. This bill would have the Department of Health Care Services establish the presumptive transfer of responsibility for providing mental health services to foster youth placed out of county from his or her county of origin to the county where the youth is living. It also builds in the opportunity to develop and institute procedural guidance for making exceptions to presumptive transfer when that's in the best interest of the individual child. Finally, it would also ensure that funding for mental health services follows any foster child placed out of county by requiring the Department of Finance to use authority it already has to set or adjust its allocations, behavioral health subaccount allocations to fully reimburse counties during the fiscal year in which the services are provided. We respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Anyone else support?
Good afternoon. My name is Manny Frosto. I'm a social worker as well as a parent that has provided permanency for a youth in foster care. In my personal experience as a parent that provided a permanency, my son moved to my home at the age of 13 from a level 12 group home, had a lot of needs and barriers with mental health services. It took 3.5 months before he was able to establish services because he was an out-of-county placement. As a social worker that's been doing this work for 17 years, I've seen many of times our youth languish when transferred out-of-county placements. And it's also a barrier to permanence when we find youth in care needing to be placed out-of-county because not the appropriate mental health services are in place. Oftentimes, there's plenty of disruptions which result with our youth coming back into foster care system because a simple transfer of mental health services wasn't in place. I strongly urge your aye vote for AB 1299.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes. My name is Patrick Gardner. I'm the president of Young Minds Advocacy Project. I thank you for the opportunity to support this bill. A couple quick points. First of all, to simplify this matter, it's simply an issue where children are transferred out of their home network of services. And as you all know, when somebody isn't in their network for health care, they often have difficulties getting services. And the way that California's mental health system is set up is that every county is its own, essentially, HMO. And so when a child crosses county lines, they're essentially out of network. The result of this has been that children not only often don't get services, but they often get much less intensity of care than they would if they remained within their county in which they entered the child welfare system.
Yep.
This bill went through the assembly without a single negative vote. I understand that there have been some concerns raised by the counties. I think those concerns are not real issues. And I'll enumerate them very quickly. Number one, there's concern about the use of the Department of Finance's authority to allocate behavioral health funds to the counties. This bill doesn't address that authority. It already exists under SB 1020. And in fact, the Department of Finance has already, in the last 2 years, exercised that authority to allocate the dollars to the counties. So that's not an issue. Another concern that people have raised is that there's a lot of money here because 1 in 5 foster youth are placed out of county. The truth is that although many children are in fact placed out of county, for each placing county, there's also a receiving county. And what we learn when we take a careful look at how the system works is one county will send children out, but it will also receive children in. And so the real financial impact is when there's a net difference. And to give you just a very quick flavor of how that works, if you look at group homes data over the last couple, the most recent data we have is from 2009, it gives you a sense of LA County sent 65 kids out of county, but they served 68 kids from other counties. Similarly, San Diego County, 31 kids were sent out of county, but 29 kids were sent in. So the amount of money that we're actually dealing with is probably modest simply because the counties can balance out their accounts, and the net differences are going to be relatively modest.
There is no known opposition, support on both sides. I think you just raised more concerns that were ever thought of. And so,
okay. I mean, you can talk your way out of it. I'm willing to hear.
Anyone else speak in support?
Anna Hasselblad with the Steinberg Institute. The Steinberg Institute is a proud co-sponsor of AB 1299 and urge your iVote.
Thank you.
Rusty Salix, California Council of Community Mental Health Agencies in support.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from any of the members, anyone else in support?
Sean South on behalf of the California Primary Care Association in support.
Rebecca Gonzalez, National Association of Social Workers, California Chapter in support.
Shireen Walter, California State PTA, the Parent Teacher Association in strong support.
So White, CUM Health Access, California in support.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. Farah McDade-Ting with the California State Association of Counties. We're pleased to report that we've been working with the bill sponsors and the author on some of our concerns, not necessarily centered around the money and a number of kids, but the Department of Finance's authority. The clarification, the Department of Finance has the authority to help direct behavioral account growth funding, not the behavioral health realignment mental health subaccount. And further, the Department of Social Services, the Department of Healthcare Services, along with the County Behavioral Health Directors Association and the County Welfare Directors Association, have been working on a concept paper to implement what this bill is attempting to do. We think that this bill is timely. We think that there is an issue that needs to be solved. We've been supportive of that process and that concept. It was presented to the Child Welfare Council 2 weeks ago and accepted. There is a draft on the DHCS website, so we're moving forward with that. And again, we look forward to working with the author to move this bill forward in a way that we are able to address the issue in a more timely manner.
Thank you. Any questions for any of the members? We have a motion by Senator Roth. Would you like to close?
We respectfully request an aye vote. This improves our mental health care delivery system for the state's most vulnerable residents.
Thank you very much. We're at item number 10, AB 1299, due pass 2, Human Services. Call the members.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Nguyen.
Aye.
Nguyen, aye. Hall. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Nielsen.
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wolk.
Aye.
Wolk, aye.
Thank you all. Thanks, Senator.
That currently has 8. That's enough to get out. We'll put that bill on call. Okay, we're going to now lift the call. We're going to, we're going to start off with consent item. Item number 3, 4, and 11. Call the absent members.
Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
Currently has 9. Those bills are out. Item number 2, AB 389. Current vote count is 8-0. Call the absent members.
Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. 9-0.
9-0. Bill is out. Item number 5, AB 847. Do pass appropriations, 8-0 current vote count. Call the absent member.
Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
Current vote count, 9-0. The bill is out. Item number 6, AB 858. Do pass to appropriations. Current vote count is 8-0. Call the absent members.
Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
Current vote count, 9-0. The bill is out. Item number 7, AB 861, Manshine, current vote count 8-0. Call the absent members.
Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
Current vote count is 9-0. Vote, that bill is out. Item number 8, AB 1231, Wood, do pass as amended to appropriations. Current vote count 8-0. Call the absent members.
Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
Current vote count is 9-0. That bill is out. Item number 10, AB 1299, due pass Human Services, current vote count 8-0. Call the absent members.
Hall?
Aye.
Hall, aye.
Current vote count is 9-0, and that bill is out. That concludes the business of the day, and we are adjourned.